peace quiets my anxiety. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Peace quiets my anxiety. One of the major killers in the world today is tension and anxiety. At least that's what the doctors have come up with saying. And of course, they used to say everything was gout, and they used to say everything was cancer, and they used to say everything was, you know, they're coming up with all sorts of new terminologies now and a broader scope so they can have different things to study it. And then they can study anxiety and they study tension. As they study anxiety and they study tension, they can get big funding from the federal government and the big organizations, and that's wonderful. I think that's just wonderful. It gives them an opportunity to have jobs for people in those areas. Now, Jesus offered us the peace that doesn't come with most normal methods. He said, "My peace cometh not of this world, but it comes from that inner source, that inner oneness." When you take a little baby and you hold the baby in your arms and you say, "Go to sleep, my little baby, I love you," and you snuggle the little baby, the baby doesn't have any tension. If you drop the baby and you grab the baby and you don't let it fall, it doesn't build up a tension in being dropped. It's only when once it has fallen from a small distance, preferably, it gains a fear of falling. But fear isn't something that's natural in human beings. It's something that's built in. It's built in by the aggressiveness of our society. And just the same way, we can build it out. And we build it out by having a feeling of peace. And when we have this peace within ourselves, the anxiety all goes. You have all come to me at various times, and you said, "Oh, Herb, oh, Dr. Byerly, oh, Reverend Byerly, oh, you big nothing, you know, help us." And I said, "What's the problem?" "Well, this isn't going right, and that isn't going right, and this isn't functioning properly, and I'm just as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof, and I don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, first thing let's do is let's just sit down and relax for a moment. Just say, peace, peace, peace." And when you start saying peace, 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 though the tension and the problems and the irritations are still there, somehow they are not as bothersome as they were before. Because you have said peace and you've not let their tension in. Their factuality, their existence, it doesn't make them tense. It's our attitude toward them. And so with peace, we gain a new attitude, an attitude that does not have that tension there. And whenever people come to me with a terrible, terrible thing they're facing, I say, "Now, let's just be peace now. Let's look at it from another point of view. Let's look at it from the point of view of balance and order and harmony and peace." And you say, "But you got to do something right now. You got to do something right now." I said, "We are. We're doing something right now. We're doing the most important thing in the world. We're setting the role of peace in whatever it is that you're doing. And if you can set the role of peace in whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're doing will work out just fine. The world has had any problem you're going to come up with before. The world has solved it and solved it again and again and again, and they will for ad infinitum time. But it doesn't really matter. Oh, it matters to you because it's your circumstances and it's your kid, it's your family, it's your wife or husband, it's your world that's being disturbed. That's true. But when the great king went to see the guru up in the mountain in his cave, and the guru kept the king waiting for one full week with his entire entourage, and finally he said, "Come, you may talk to me now." And the king told him his problem, and then he said in all gentleness to the king, "My dear sir, this too shall pass." And that's exactly what it is. This too shall pass. So if we keep our balance at all times, if we keep our own peace at all times, it will pass, but it doesn't have to ruffle our feathers and make us feel uncomfortable in the process. It doesn't have to give us the death rattles and make us feel that's the end of the world, it's the end of life. We don't have to go through those silly machinations. We can just recognize that all is in divine order right now, and that as we are peace, as we are one, as we are at one with ourselves, that will all pass away, you know? But we want to fight. We want to fight. We want to fight. Peace quiets my anxiety. So the next time I feel that I've got a few tensions coming my way, I just say to myself, peace, peace, peace. And you know, Ellen is sitting here at the table, giggling and laughing at me. Herb, you have tensions, Herb. You have these things. Well, I am everybody. And so when anybody has a feeling of anxiety, I quiet myself. And in the process of quieting myself, I bring peace into their existence because I see them peaceful and I see them with no further anxiety. And that's my role and my job, and that's your role and your job. For your creation, remember, you created every single being, person, everything that's in your world. Now, it's up to you to see them in balance and peace. Well, you're in balance and peace, yes, but see your world in balance and peace. Don't observe them. When Adam and Eve came before God after eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says, where were you? We were hiding. Well, why were you hiding? Because we were naked. Well, why were you naked? What does it mean to be naked? They never had any clothing. They never had any covering to put on themselves in paradise. Paradise didn't call for that. Paradise was a nudist camp. And that's just what it was. But you see, they felt that they were unclean. And you see, the reason people put clothing on is because they're unclean. They want to cover themselves up. They want to hide. And when you're all out in the open, there's nothing to hide. And when people live with that, there's no anxiety. But the moment you start covering yourself up, mentally, physically, emotionally, then you have things to hide. And then the world can pick on you and make you feel anxiety and tension, make you feel uptight. And it isn't worth it. That's why I always say to everybody, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Even if it's a lie, tell the truth. And as you tell the truth, you're doing what you believe is right. I tell everybody, tell the truth. And if they have made up that story of truth, if they have concocted that story of truth to be their version of it, that's okay. That's what they believe. Tell it. And as you tell it, you will feel bad inside yourself. Then you will really feel not that you're naked, but that you're dirty. And you see, that's unfortunate. Always tell the truth, truth. The truth is, well, I don't know, how would you define the truth? The truth is that which is a correct observation of the facts, perhaps, you know. Did this actually take place? Did this person actually get mad at you? Did this person actually speak to you? Or did you only think that they did that? Because that was it. It's just like a lot of children. They tell, you know, they irritate their father. They irritate their father. They irritate their father. To talk to them, to be with them, and finally they kick their father in the knee so that they'll get a spanking, so at least they'll be touched by their father. At least they'll have some relationship with their father. And then children go around telling big stories about what they do with their father, and whatever they might happen to hear from any place else that sounds interesting, they say that they and their father did it. And it's, people want to have a relationship. People want to have, and they make up the truth. And in making up the truth, sometimes they hurt themselves, and that's unfortunate. But if you always are just honest, honest like sin, if you could say such a word, if you could be honest beyond all imagination, then you live a happy, wonderful life. You see, when you tell the truth, you feel good about yourself. And when you tell a lie, you feel bad about yourself. And sometimes your lie is because you forgot the truth. And that's no excuse, because you never forget the truth. You never forget the facts. Did you take that pencil from the table and you say, no, I didn't even know there's a pencil? You don't have to add that. Your statement is no. You're not defending yourself. You just said no. And, well, you're the only one that walked through that room. You must have taken it. And then right away you feel guilty, even though you didn't even know the pencil was there. You have so many pencils of your own, you don't need to take somebody else's pencil, and you didn't even need it for a moment, you know. But you feel guilty, because this is that Adam and Eve syndrome that comes down through to us, where we feel that we have done something wrong. Now, you see, Adam and Eve never agreed to not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God just said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you shall surely die. And that's what they did. Now, what is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is judgment. Mm-hmm. Pure judgment. Something is right and something is wrong. Now you see, everything in the world was going on in Adam and Eve's time before they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they had no judgment about it. It just was and is. Okay?
Yeah.
Untouched, untouched, untouched. But the moment they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they made observations, they made judgments. And when they made judgments, then they were no longer innocent. They were no longer beautiful beings. And you see, this is what we perhaps can teach our children, how to make choices without judgments. Now, here you have six apples. Which one do you want? Oh, anyone's fine. Here you have six apples. I'll take this one. Well, why did you take that one? Because it looked so pretty, because it looked so delicious, because it looked so wonderful. Not because it was bigger than the others or smaller than the others or anything like that. No judgment, because it stood for itself. Why did you pick that flower from my garden? Because it was so beautiful. I just wanted to love it and kiss it and hug it. Okay. You see, being honest, telling the truth at all times, it may get you in trouble, because other people don't understand that too much, but you do, and that's all that matters. And when you're honest, there's nothing to be anxious about, and you're always peace. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you, I love you,
I love you.